Hello. So first of all, thank you so much for staying here this late. I know that this somehow collides with the Linux Foundation event, so I hope you'll get there tonight. I'm Daniel. I'm a software engineer at Red Hat, and I'm also somehow trying to run the BPFC group in Fedora. And I would like to talk to you a little bit about BPF programs and how do you run those out. Yes, first of all, so I can get a little bit of a vibe. How many of you have ever run a BPF program? As non-root? Okay, cool. Well, but good, you don't want. Okay, so a non-using kernel capability? Okay, cool. So then I think that's going to be interesting to you. So basically, I want to speak, and this is the main topic about the whole session, about the privileged program. So as you have been noticing, most of the people, when they run BPF program, they just say, okay, let's run just as root. And that's a little bit the main issue as when you first start doing anything on Linux. You look at root, then things just work, and suddenly you notice and you realize that this is not a good practice. So then at some point you realize that there is a thing called kernel capabilities. Is there anyone here who's not familiar at all with kernel capabilities? Okay, then you're good to go. But when eBPF was first a thing, it was just using capsys admin. So that's basically, yeah, okay, I'm giving you root access to my system and you're happy to go. And things just work again, as I was saying before. But again, this is not the best practice at all. Then at some point, BPF realized that, okay, we better go and create one specific capability for BPF. So that's how we got kept BPF here. So you can just go and load programs and create maps. But depending on what you want to do, so let's assume we just got Cisco today in ASOL and costing us. So let's assume I want to just create, I don't know, an XTP program. This wouldn't be enough, but you would also need probably cabinet admin to do anything related to networking. And there it goes. So basically, if you are following me, the dependency in the privileged program still goes along because you are given, in the end, root access to your BPF program. So this may lead to, let's assume we are working into Kubernetes here these days. We are running containers. But we may not want to run a privileged containers, which again would be, again, giving you root access to your whole system, which is not a security good at some point. So not only containers, but you, let's say, you may not be happy specifically in Linux distributions because nobody would like to, there's also things I'll be speaking about later, about SE Linux and so forth, which may not be happy for you doing all these things. And basically, you get too many privileges. So then comes BPF token. What the hell this is? So a BPF token, the main idea of that is a little bit like handing, let's say I'm a privileged user or root, whatever, and I'm going to be giving you access to run BPF code, BPF programs. But let's go and create so much more granularity and a scope related and reduced way of doing so. So basically, we are going to be having a mechanism to run this. So just in case you don't know, BPF uses a pseudo-file system, so you can mount it, and you can create a token. Then the user would be opening that token, and then you would have BPF access, but in a limited way. Because, for instance, let's assume we are just using a BPF program, such as BPF top, or I don't know, I just want to create a kprobe. I may not want to have access to, let's say, open a socket for networking. It wouldn't make sense at all, and this is going to be a huge security risk. Again, modern Linux distributions, as in our case Fedora, are not happy with that thing. So again, how does this work? It's pretty much what I said, but I'm going to be speaking with, a little bit with you about like the delegations. Delegations are in the scope of the BPF token, pretty much like capabilities. So you can, again, let's say I'm going to be giving you access to a limited amount of programs or commands. I'm going to be giving you a limited amount of permissions in terms of BPF maps, let's say memory. And this is going to be even fine with verifier. So it's totally fine. How does this work? So just trust me. Again, there are some caveats to that, but I didn't explain that here. And by the way, you can see the slides there in the link. This is already the products link, so feel free to load that. So there's a few things that you can do in terms of delegations. So you can set commands. You can restrict the list of map types that you're going to be running. program types, and also attachments. So I put an example here. Is this big enough? Do I make it bigger? Okay, cool. So let's say we are going to be creating, we can load maps, we can create maps, we can load programs, we can create maps arrives, but I'm only going to be using a kprop and a trace point, which makes sense if I just want to do something regarding tracer or get traces. You can do whatever you like with that. You're not limited, to that, but you can also, let's assume we are using, a modern networking CNI plugin. So we would be doing something like that, but also allowing to mount, to access networks, to create sockets, and so forth. Here's an example also for trace-only token. It's pretty much the same, but what we are doing here, so we first, as an admin, as a root, we create the token itself, which is a kernel object, and we are basically later on allowing the user, which is a developer, whatever, so I created a group called developers. What happened with this? So now developers and anyone in the developers group would be able to run programs, but they wouldn't be able to load traffic control or XCP programs that could totally mess up with that. With this, what we are creating is a much higher level of granularity without, because we are also allowing people to run things in our systems, but in a controlled way. So we don't know for them to be root, and we don't know, need them to be having a much more big enough capability, like CAPSIS admin, as I said before, or CAPBBF. So this is just, and I got a demo of that later, using like Bash and so forth in a Linux kernel. But I like Rust, I like Aya. If you go, I guess last year I was speaking about Aya and a few different libraries. For the ones that you don't know, Aya is a pure Rust native eBPF library, which makes your life much easier because it supports BPF token out of the blue, as long as you are running Linux with a kernel higher than 6.7, which is now a normal thing. Again, this is pure Rust native, so go with me with some Aya advertisement. But how do I load the program with token Aya? It's pretty much the same. So we are checking if the token exists, we are creating that here, and then if it exists, apply it, and then we can load the program directly. So no sudo, no root, no capability, just simple code in Rust, a couple of lines. It just works, and I think it's one of the best Rust examples you can find there. But again, with no Rust here, let's assume this compile, it gets there. So come with me with the demo. I got what it intended to be a live demo, but didn't work today, so I got a video. Hold on. So let's assume that the program that I was speaking before, we got an AI tracer, and we are trying to run it as is without any token. It will tell you, no hell way, which we are expecting. So let's create a token. So here we are creating a mounting the token, and we are allowing it to use kprop, and now we are, as I was saying before, allowing the developer to access that and change the permissions. What will happen now? So now it's going to be using the BF token, the delegation, it's going to be loading, and then you're happy. It works. The same binary, same user, now just using the token, no root harm here, no sudo, no kernel capability, no permissions, which I think is pretty much in a better way. So again, if you try to load a program that is not allowed by the token, it will just miserably fail in the same way that's to be expected, because why would I allow any user to run a TC or XCP program if you just want to have a kprop. So, again, now I said I'm a Fedora contributor, I'm a Fedora packager. Tomorrow we got a whole dev run about distributions, and I'm going to be speaking about this in way much more detail, but why do we care about that? So, in the distribution, we care about like security, interoperability, we care about like having shared dependencies in order not to have an overload. And when we package the stuff, we like for that to be allowed to be handed to the users in a safe, reproducible, and limited permissions way. Just think about the Linux. So when we are thinking about in the Fedora C group for eBPF is still integrating this directly within Kogi and our build systems. So for instance, we can have a system unit, and this can be controlled, yes, rootless. System services. So let's say this is systemd as a service. What it would do in the beginning, it would just mount the BPF token, assign the permission, and it would just work. And we don't need to run this as sudo at all, ever. In fact, one of the things that we were thinking about is just in Fedora, there's going to be a proposal for Fedora 45 about creating, by default, an EPPF group, and that in the same way as you do will, I mean, no sudo here, just don't mistake things out. What we can do is like creating a new group called BPF, which would create a token by default, and they would hand over permissions to people to grant, to run BPF tokens. How do we do that? Which permissions do we get? This is a topic that's a couple of sessions, but we'll discuss it tomorrow. So, and this also applies, as I said before, to Podman. So, is anybody using non-rootless containers in Podman here? Well, no, nobody, so that makes total sense. And you may ask me about SU Linux policies. This is, as of now, a big issue. So one of the things that we have to work in this, into the Linux distributions is about adding a new SU Linux policy that would allow you to run a BPF token and so forth without being screaming no hell in way, and I don't want to run this into permissive mode or no, disabled mode. As I said, I would like for you, if you want to help on that, as I said, it's going to be a new proposal for Fedora 45. If you want to get involved, you have ideas about how to basically coordinate and elaborate on this with Fedora, we are totally welcoming you to come with us and discuss this out. Because I think it's a big enough topic that would allow Linux distributions to run BPF programs basically in a rootless mode, which is like everybody would like to. So far, let me quickly go. I got a demo, so let me quickly go through that. Can you see my screen? Bigger? How about now? Awesome, thank you. So this morning I can tell you this demo worked. Then I came to the phone and networking didn't work and it's not working, but I recorded it just in case, which I think it's a safe measure. So let me go through it. So here we are going to be checking the kernel and the current BPF mounts. As I said, higher than 6.7. And then we got it down here. We got the tokens and the delegated mount. So now we can check our delegations in the mount. The mount has those delegations that I was speaking about before, Kpref and so forth. Then we're going to be running as a regular user. And this won't work as out of blue because of this is intended to use FS Open and not the right mount. But let's go and create a container. And a regular container would just run as it was before. This is using containers. Already do the FS Open thing for you. You don't have to do a thing. And the main difference on that, let me actually put that a little bit there because it was running higher than I thought. So inside the container, so and just disregard the deprecated Vault DB. This is something from Podman. But we are just using, this is a rootless container, even if it's a root. It's only root within the container, but this is being run as a regular user. We can now mount the BPF virtual file system here, which means that we can just access the maps and access whatever we want to. You can see that we are able to access that. And in a real setup with the BPF token, we can use the BPF token create or just AIA within the container. And this would just work without having any privileged host, which would be, again, running the container as root within our system. Coming back to here, I think, what time is it? Yeah, here I go. So, again, in the EBPFC group, what we are working into. So, one of the things we are interested for Fedora 45 is to add packaging guidelines for EBPF with token. Have a default token, like that is what I was speaking about, like creating the new BPF group and so forth. Add support for SE Linux, and also we would like to have this direct support in Podman using an option. And documentation, of course. So if you want to get involved, we got a wiki here. Not sure if it's big enough, but you can check it out in the slides which are available in the room. So with this, questions?
Hi, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Is there any plan to get on board with that idea with various security vendors that are working on Linux. That would be like Microsoft, like SentinelOne, like CrowdStrike. Can we get them on board with their agents to use that way of interacting mm-hmm. with eBPF?
Actually, totally. So, but first, what I'll be working into is a proposal for Fedora 45. Once that we are there, that's going to be open for comments to anybody. And of course, I would like to include security people in other companies, because the main idea is that this would become somehow a standard, not only tied to Fedora, but open to any Linux distribution that would leverage into that. I saw another hand before.
Thank you for the talk. These tokens look amazing. I'm doing network programming with DC and XDP, so mm-hmm. I'm interested in, like, my problem is reverse. Mm-hmm. With XDP and DC, you typically need BerfMon because you compare pointers. Mm-hmm. And it's scary that a networking program can read arbitrary kernel memory. Are there any plans to restrict not only map types and program types, but also helpers and kfunks?
I mean, the main idea that I had in mind was to actually restrict, but I, given that you get it enough access to the token, you can do anything. So if you need a network TC or XDP program that needs further access, what you would only need to do is to increase the scope of the token, and it should theoretically do work. I haven't tried it, though. Let's do that. Reply to the question.
No, not really. So if
I can't hear you, sorry.
If you need BerfMon, your program can read kernel memory. Mm-hmm. You need BerfMon for networking. Okay. But really, network program rarely needs to read kernel memory. They just have BerfMon mm-hmm. because it's necessary to direct packet access.
I see what you mean. Well, I haven't have that in mind, but I will definitely take a look when I write the proposal. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
So just a hand to the colleague that asked about networking. Hey, Daniel. You can get away from direct packet access by using BPF DIN pointers for SKB payload, at least for TC. For XDP, you're stuck with direct packet access. But I had a question for Daniel. Do you know, does BPFFS support file system ACLs, or we're stuck with just user and group of the traditional file permissions?
I think that so far it's not that it doesn't have that support, but I would need to check. So we can just check it out later outside.
All right. Thanks. Just curious.
There have been dozens of CVEs in the verifier in the last years. Some of them even allow to write and modify kernel memory at runtime. Do you think about that when you say that's a good idea to allow non-privileged users to load any arbitrary eBPF program mm-hmm. into the kernel?
Well, this is a little different thing. So CVEs would affect you regardless of you have root or not. And we, as in Fedora, we are very... We are really cared about CVEs and so forth, not only about eBPF, but about, you wouldn't believe the amount of CVEs that we see in the more minor things. Given that, I said that if you restrict that enough, it would be the same as, you know, allowing you to write to whatever. So this may be some good idea about trying to use SE Linux to somehow restrict that out, but I will need to think about that in more detail when I write the scope. I'll be publishing that. It's going to be public, so feel free to take a look and you write any comments if you'd like to help us. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
So I see a final question about that.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for the talk.
Thank you.
I have two questions. The first one is, what is the lifespan of the token? Are they valid for forever, and the eBPF program is just going to use that when they are loaded? And the second one is, where can we find the actual permissions to actually configure?
Sure. So the permissions themselves it's like mainly done by the delegations that I was telling before. So when you select the delegations that you are seeking the token, you are allowing it to use the commands and the specific BPF capabilities that you want it to use. And secondly, about the lifetime of the token itself, that's something that we would need to discuss, because if we think about like having, let's say, a default BPF group, we may have that one that lives forever. I think that's a terrible idea, to be honest. So we should make it rotating and so forth. And one of the things that I'm going to be discussing in the abstract is about like how often do you need to rotate such secret. So thank you for that too, but it'll be still a thing for discussion. Okay, go ahead.
So I work with embedded systems, and my question is, did you consider also embedded systems when you designed this token management stuff, like Purple OS, for example, which is container-based, but for embedded systems? OpenWRT, which is a more traditional one.
Well, I'm not an embedded engineer, so I didn't consider specifically embedded systems. But if you're interested, again, like I'll be really happy to have a chat later if you'd like to, or just when I put the abstract for there. But it should just be pretty much the same. As I was saying, like any runtime, OCI runtime should work with this as long as it has a kernel higher than 6.7. So it should just work. But I didn't test it specifically for embedded systems.
So one interesting feature that I guess wasn't mentioned, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the it's really interesting to see that you mount a file system like this and then add it to the container. One of the other approaches that is like really prominent in the initial patch set in which this was introduced is to create a essentially have two processes which have a Unix socket in between them, and then have the unprivileged process create the BPFFS with the new FS syscalls, then send that over over the socket to the privileged process so it can delegate the permissions.
I guess what you mean, yeah.
And then it sends it, and then that file descriptor you already have, you don't even need to mount it on the like on a path. But you can already use that file descriptor with those permissions. So it's in that model. So it's slightly different than directly mounting it to a path. But in that model, you can drop, like you can close the file descriptor and drop your permissions. So it is still voluntary. It doesn't expire, but you can like load your programs and then just close the file descriptor, drop your permissions.
Yeah, that's another option, yeah.
Which is perhaps a really interesting idea. The other one is that in System D and LXC, I can't remember which name it is, but they already implemented like this mechanism natively. So in System D units, you should already be able to just specify the delegated command, and it will just do the setup of the BPFFS for you. And LXC does something similar.
I haven't
seen it anywhere else, and it would be really interesting to see if perhaps we could this also would be part of OCI at some point, where
you can just
specify
directly use that in the partner level. Yeah,
yeah, that's just wanted to highlight that.
And in fact, I'm really interested about the system integration, because of course I want to integrate that with Linux distro and so forth. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Are BPF tokens integrated with the Linux audit subsystem?
That's what I was saying before. I mean, one of the goals for the scope of work would also to be to enhance SE Linux to also support the kind of audit thing. Because so far it would just kill you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there's no more questions, thanks a lot for the organizers here, for inviting me over, and for my family to allow me to come here. Thank you, guys. Enjoy Potsdam.
Thank you, David.